Okay. Welcome, Futile Podcast.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, I missed the commentary about the dump with the fetal alcohol syndrome. That's right. What's going on with this recorder? Whatever. I don't know. Okay. Welcome to Futile Podcast. Tonight, we've got Zach and Seth, and we're going to talk about from
1991.
Did you check it on the box?
I think you just said that.
I don't think that's true.
Exactly.
I think it's like 1988 or something. I think it's late 80s. I don't think...
Zach's become one of these people.
No, you know, because it was...
Total Recall was 90. I mean, come on. It can't be.
No, it was in the 90s.
Really?
It was in the 90s. Usual Suspects. Because that guy looked younger than he was in that.
Oh, he's way younger than Usual Suspects, yeah.
Well, not by much. Usual Suspects was like 95. It's weird.
We'll find out momentarily here.
So the audience gets a chance to try to guess what the podcast is. Well, we're trying to get the date. I compared it to Total Recall. Seth mentioned Usual Suspects.
Over under. Do you know it already?
No, not yet.
Okay, over under, Zach.
Over under what?
Over under
on the date
stuff
of the movie.
Over under the date.
90. We're saying 91.
90. It's definitely. I think it's over 91.
You say under. You say under.
I think it's 91. I'm going to go with 91.
You can't push it over under. Tell them about the result.
Oh, okay. Under? So I have to say 89 or
and
something?
And you say what?
I'm going to push.
You're going to push?
What does that
so
mean?
It means he has no play in this whatsoever. He's saying it falls on 91.
Mm-hmm. You're saying under,
it was,
right?
I'll be under.
It wins. It was 90.
Yes! Okay, we're talking about Miller's Crossing. Was it the second or third or what?
Let's see.
After Blood Simple, after...
It was after Blood Simple. I think it was... when was Raising Arizona?
I have no idea. Probably right before or pretty close after.
It was somewhere down the road because Barton Fink was before it.
Was it actually released? I know they wrote it because they were having trouble finishing the screenplay for Miller's Crossing.
This is Bush Senior stuff. About.
Yeah, HW. Yeah. We're at HW now.
HW.
They love HW.
Good time for movies.
Did you see my new fantasy page?
What was it?
It's Hillary Clinton, like with some boobs.
Oh, nice. Have you seen mine?
Oh, that's gross. Guys, yeah, come on.
Crying Dawson.
See how Dawson thought it was Ian.
Who? What?
Who's the best?
Who?
I changed my profile picture on all my fantasy teams to a picture I found of Dawson from Dawson's Creek,
right,
with this awful crying look on his face. He's going,
which is not his name, but yeah.
Dawson.
Right, yeah.
Vanderbeek.
I love that he's called that.
And,
Sugar Ray.
He's going,
and Dustin goes, where'd you get that picture of Ian?
So you don't think he actually thought it was a picture of me?
I don't know. Either way, it's hilarious.
Yeah, okay.
Either way, it's hilarious.
When I looked at it a second time, it looks like Ian.
Huh?
In one of his rage states. So he's like, why doesn't the dishwasher have racks where the brake strokes roll around?
Well, that is a fair question.
Oh, my gosh.
2011.
He was like, if I ever met, what did you say about the heir of the
Saran Wrap guy?
Saran Wrap guy?
I'm going to write a movie about
that.
If
I ever met that guy, I would probably kill him.
Yeah,
he's going through a play.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They did write it while they had problems with Barton Fink, but they released it before Barton Fink. So it
makes sense.
Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, Miller's Crossing.
Okay, so Miller's Crossing, third Coen film, pretty on there in terms of like masterpiece level work, I would say,
yeah,
which is surprising for such early filmmakers. I mean, Blood Simple
is okay. If you think somebody reaches their third film, they've probably reached some level. I mean, that's a prime area in a lot of filmmakers.
It's a good area, but
it was cheesy in a lot of ways, but like all the cheese. Like,
it was stylized.
It was stylized.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
cheesy.
It isn't cheesy.
Well, I don't know. Like a lot of the shots and a lot of the dialogue was.
I thought the shots were awesome.
Yeah,
the cinematography was amazing.
I mean, they worked perfectly. I really liked it, but like it was just they got away with it. Other people could do those same things and it just wouldn't work.
Well, right.
They're masters of their
writing,
craft.
Yeah.
I mean, they know.
Maybe
what
the thing at the end where you deal with his hat and stuff.
Yeah, well,
that's like cheesy.
The hat thing is, they fall really into metaphorical stuff, and that the hat thing is apparently really important to that character because
when he doesn't have it, things are in chaos.
Yes,
when he does, things
he has,
are okay.
Yeah, so
throughout the story.
So him having his hat is like the character's defining thing, and like he said,
it's
every
like
time
his touchstone.
Does, yeah, and it just says something about the character. I mean, all the things about
it.
Yeah, and they're really experts at making sure that every character stays thematically sound all the way through. And like the Johnny Casper character played by John Polito is always mentioning ethical things, and like he
right.
and his downfall is that he actually believes everyone is straightforward and that they should be straightforward at all times and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And then the whole thing about the Gabriel Byrne character, who's just like a really cold, heartless person, is his idea that he mentions to the Albert Finney character early on multiple times,
right,
that everything he ever does or they've ever done together has been for a reason. There has to be a reason.
Right, yeah.
And then at the end, when he shoots Turturro, he literally has no reason to do it. It's just...
It's an emotional thing.
It's an emotional
thing.
So
the irony is it's in what heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm acting... my heart is actually telling me
it's brilliant writing. It's really brilliant writing.
And it's really good. I mean, writing stylized stuff like that, it's like Deadwood or something, where it's like if...
They've always
it's hard to get
dialogue,
it right, but yeah, they have to. And I mean, the one thing they do in this film, I think I was taking, I don't know, if, I think it was a screenwriting class, and we read the first page of the script, screenwriting wise, and there's just so much like lush description, and so it's but it's sparse too, like it's quick and it's deliberate. It describes the Tumblr, the office, and everything else. Yeah, it's really good. But what they're just masters of, especially in this film, is making something happen while nothing is really happening. Like this movie is essentially like a play. It's just a lot of talking, but there's always some kind of a clever backstory set or set piece or something happening. I mean, even if it's just in Albert Finney's office, there's that weird sculpture of like the doll, that greyhound running or whatever. There's things to look at.
Do you think that when they broke that mirror when he threw the glass at it in the woman's bathroom, do you think they did that multiple times? Because the way that mirror was broken was like...
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder stuff like
that.
Did
you see that? It was like... That's not the way, like, most mirrors break. Like, they have these spider web things, and that one was all, like, circular.
But it could depend on...
It was
like,
really cool.
If they had... I mean, it could depend on if they had, like... I doubt they broke, like, a period mirror, and, like, the old glass would have done that or something, but...
That's what they did that on purpose. Like, they designed how they wanted that to break.
It's possible, or it was a happy accident. Like, I wonder about the shot when the cops and like one of the gang guys are blowing out the rival guys when they all run off, and then one guy's hat sits there and rolls. Like, I wonder if they just let it roll.
I don't know. You always think that everything like that is planned, but you always hear that, and especially in like classes and stuff, they teach you every single thing is planned. But then when you listen to like filmmakers talk about stuff on commentaries, they're always like, oh, that was so cool that happened right then.
Right,
there's a
degree of rolling with it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I don't know, it's a thing in life. You should plan it to every detail, but then when those things, something might happen, and
then you have
if it's
to,
better than your plan, then you need to be open to that. Obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that happens, because they're apparently, I mean, they don't allow for improvisation.
They're writers.
But I mean, they're in control of their entire thing. But I mean, a lot of guys who are in control of their entire thing will be like, oh, that's a great idea, let's go with that. But they, from beginning to end, have like a very clear vision of exactly what they want, and they seem to always get it. I mean, I definitely think they have failures as films that I don't like. And one that everyone seems to love that I just have never gotten, I don't even understand the film, is The Man Who Wasn't There.
I don't mind that.
People love it, and they talk about like all these like interesting things that happen toward the end that like explain what it's about and stuff like that.
I've never gotten that. When Monk comes in to represent him, and he's talking about Heisenberg. Yeah. No, I don't know. I like that film. I went to an art house cinema in Pasadena to see it.
I didn't really understand the relationship with the woman. Like,
it was basic stuff.
He definitely did. He definitely did. I mean, he just was, you know, like a person who didn't show it, and he.
It seemed that way, but it wasn't. I don't know. I was left because.
But his loyalty to
how she felt about him, like, I don't know.
Yeah, right. They both were jerks who kind of fell into each other, and but his loyalty to Finney was greater than his loyalty to her, and I think because of everything that had happened, he probably did have a reason to kill. What's his name in the end? Though there wasn't any.
I think it was
a revenge reason, and like, you know, a payback thing for having.
It was also the fact that guy was going to just continually be doing that. Like, now he wiped out. They'd taken.
Yeah, he caused everything. He caused.
He was the inciting event of the whole movie, which ironically happens is spoken. You hear about it, you don't see it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
There's a lot of they definitely break the rules a lot, and they get away with it. There's. Most of the characters are introduced by being told about them first, and people talk about. You know,
everyone's got like two names. I mean, not so much in this, but to a degree, there's like
It's like sometimes the Dane's called the Dane, sometimes he's called, I forget what his first name is, Eddie. Yeah, and so it's like, and then they've got like slurs for people that they call them sometimes, but then they don't. Well, it can make it hard to keep track of who's who, especially if you haven't seen them yet and you've heard them referred to by two different names already with all the other stylized dialogue around it. You're like, I don't understand.
I didn't understand.
Well, it just takes...
I think you're just stupid, probably.
It's possible. I'm very tired and I've had a bad day, but that's okay.
Terrible, horrible, very
it's not
bad,
a podcast
no good
for your
day.
Bad day.
No, the podcast doesn't need to know about my day.
You talk about the podcast like it's a person.
Podcast is a person. I love the podcast. The podcast doesn't love me back, but that's okay. I'm gonna put one in the head of the podcast.
Have you ever processed the podcast?
No.
Have you ever serviced the podcast?
No. Has it ever serviced
you? You should have like a free service day for the L podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. Do we care about going to? I think the best way to describe the plot is that it's really a throwback to like those old like noir, like classic pictures. It really doesn't have a lot of. It has violence, but it doesn't like. It's not like gratuitous nudity or sex or language or anything. It's just kind of got your Tommy guns
it's
going.
It's violence,
and
like I mean, I think this was before when people accepted the kind of weird idea that the F word existed.
Right. Yeah.
So long ago. I mean, Deadwood has kind of made it commonplace. But like, you know, there were cowboy movies before where people used that kind of language, but they don't really use any foul language aside from like, you know,
slurs or whatever.
Well, like blasphemy, profanity type stuff. Like this basic like Irish Catholic swearing.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they're really particular about that sort of thing. The plot really shares something with Jimbo and
Fistful of Dollars.
Fistful of Dollars.
They kept coming back to think about who runs this city and stuff. And
I mean, it's about who runs it, but that's the exact Yojimbo thing. It's about two warring clans. Though it goes about it a different way, and it kind of hides that he's doing things
right.
For his old boss, you know, and until the end. So, but the basic thing is, you know,
They didn't.
I don't think they meant to hide very well. Like it's obvious that he's.
Well, he's covering his own skin for the most part, and it happens to be that in so doing
he's really not covering his own skin. Like he's not. I mean,
he puts his neck out there constantly.
He does. Like, why would he even tell that guy Leo in the beginning that like he was banging his?
It's because he's loyal and to a fault, and he tells
exactly.
him that because
so
yeah.
not, that's
because
not
he believes
by protecting his own skin.
No,
but in that case, that's the one guy that
he's
like,
loyal to that guy's business,
and he figures the guy just
he was
won't
so
kill
upset
him.
By the fact that guy was making like a bad
exactly.
play,
yeah.
and so he wanted to make sure that the information was out there. Regardless.
And so the plot is that the bad play is that John Polito's character. Johnny Casper, the Italian,
thinks all the criminals should be able to get along.
So he comes to Albert Finney's character, I always forget his name, and tells him that Bernie Birnbaum or whatever has been screwing him out of all the fixed fights,
right?
And that he needs to be taken out. And Albert Finney tells him to go to hell, and that's basically that starts like.
And you wonder why a little bit because it sounds Polito makes his case, right?
Yeah, and they don't explain to you that. Vera's
brother.
You get that like 20 minutes into the film. And then they complicate it by the fact that Tom is sleeping with her and he's his boss's girl.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it's got all this red running through
probably.
She's totally, she's Marcia Gay Harden. She's gross.
Right.
And I dislike her and everything.
Like, I say I hate that.
She's gross, no. And the worst character she's ever played is in Mystic River.
Right,
because she like just
Bostons it up.
She Bostons it up, but she just craps on Tim Robbins like all film.
Right,
you know, and then he gets what he never deserved at the end, and she was just a bitch to him.
Right,
the time.
Yeah,
and, like you know, and that's my defining image of Marcia.
You believe the character she plays.
I have to imagine she's like that in real life because all I've ever seen her do is whine and be shrewish.
Right, yeah, pretty much that's what she does.
And they could have definitely picked a hotter. You know, I mean that.
Frances McDormand looked better in this movie.
McDormand looked better than her in this, and she's kind of got the horse face thing going, so that's saying something.
She didn't look better than her.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
Okay, Seth.
Maybe you're right.
So, anyway, then it turns into subterfuge and back and forth and sort of a Yojimbo thing.
Yeah, because he's so honest and truthful, he gets kicked out of the Irish squad and he goes over to the Italian squad and there's various double crosses and triple crosses, and but he's playing a game the whole time that's supposed to help out his old boss. And
so what's a cross?
I've wondered what exactly when you, like, now the old saying, like, don't cross me is like, you know, you just come up to someone to their face and you say, you know,
don't cross me.
You bark at them, and that's crossing someone. You cross someone, you just get angry at each other. So double cross must be you are speaking plainly to them, and you stab them in the back, and they don't know it's coming. Regular cross is argument to their face.
Double cross is when you and me say, "Hey, let's cross Ian."
You
and Ian get together and they say, "Let's double cross."
It's like you and me saying, "Let's cross Ian," but then when I go to cross Ian, you get
double
me.
Cross. Yeah,
you get me. That's a double cross.
Right.
That makes sense.
A triple cross would be if I'm.
I don't know what a triple cross is. I planned with him first to get you.
Okay.
So there was a step before the double cross.
It would be like if I dropped Cam Newton and then somebody else picked him up before letting me have another chance to get him again after week one.
Let you have a chance because of the egalitarian society that
we live in. Yes.
That is fantasy football.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That wasn't smart, him dropping. I'll let him pick him back up. I'll let him get him. I'm not going to trample his dreams.
There are a couple things in this movie I mean, it's not a perfect movie.
Just not Fred.
There are a couple things in this where
I had 136 points this week.
Like, they set up Tom to be, like pretty sharp and kind of this right-hand... It's inexplicable right-hand man that doesn't really have to be, like, fearful or respectful of anyone. He just kind of get away with things. But they also...
No, they established him to be fearful. I mean, he had...
Well, a little.
He wasn't untouchable.
There were definitely moments where
that was
kind
of the arc for
him
a little bit, yeah.
There were a lot of moments where he showed fear.
He was a close friend. He was like the... What do they call that shit in Godfather?
Consigliere, yeah.
You like how everybody knew each other,
yeah,
and they spoke to each other very like in a
first name. I didn't like is how stupid both bosses were.
Well, I think one was just very one was trusting. And
one
stupid.
Was pig headed, and the other was stupid.
Yeah, Finney wasn't entirely stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, plus they showed that like he can like stand up for it.
Well, but that shows that he probably got to his place by
with the Tommy gun,
and
yeah, right,
and not brain
and luck.
And Polito.
That was also really cheesy again. I mean, like that.
That was Cohen,
that was awesome.
Dude. That was like absurd Cohen stuff.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
It was really awesome. But I mean, it's just
in that movie. It's a stylized movie.
When I think about the movie, I think about the guys walking across the floor, shooting the floor,
and he gets shot
bed.
In the feet. Yeah. No,
like,
and
why didn't they just aim at the bed?
Right. Yeah.
Why aim at the floor like you're going to get to
right.
Them?
Yeah. I know there's some stylized stuff. I mean, it kind of, that's what I mean by it kind of feeling like an old throwback to those other movies when they would have things like that, like logic errors and for the characters for stylism.
I didn't was Bernie, he was so stupid. And then when that one guy jumped down the window, the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he got one up.
He wasn't that stupid. He was
stupid.
Just a dick.
No, he was a dick.
Yeah,
I don't think he was stupid. How was he stupid? What did he do that was stupid?
Just the way he talked. People that talk a lot are stupid.
Well, he's conniving. I mean, that's how he makes things work. He doesn't have the brawn. He doesn't have much of the brains. He has some brains, and so, you know.
I mean, I guess that would be a good one. It'd be easy to figure out, especially if you planned it ahead, you know. But it seemed like, I don't know, that seemed like weird to me. He would have been on the ball for that.
Well, who knows? But
it's not about Dark
Man. No, the only thing I still have an issue with slightly, but is that in the beginning they sort of set up like this flaw for Tom, like that he's like pretty clearly like a boozer, like having. I mean, that's where the movie starts.
They're all boozers.
Yeah, no, but him even worse. Like, but him even worse because like he wakes up, doesn't remember how the poker game went, and he's, you know, goes off and pukes like it's a regular thing for him to just drink to that level, and then being sick all the time, and it. You'd think that would affect his ability to handle things, but it doesn't ever seem to.
He got beat the hell up all the time.
Right,
and was constantly getting caught by people. And,
I don't know.
That was just a trait.
Okay. I mean,
his flaw was the same as his strong point, which was his loyalty.
I think he was self-destructive. I think he was trying to get caught. That's why he wasn't looking out for himself. I mean, he was... He was constantly trying to get in trouble.
Well, that's with the gambling and stuff, like sort of self-destruction.
He was putting himself in these positions all the time. He could have very easily, at many points in that movie, just sort of sidestepped the whole confrontation.
Possibly. Yeah.
He wanted that comedy. He wanted to, you know...
He is kind of an enigma, even at the end, and I think that's why it's okay when they hold on him for the ending there. It's because you're still trying to figure the character out, and you just watch this whole movie with him do all these things, and you're like, I mean, I get a sense of loyalty, sure. I get a sense of, like...
But the thing is, man, in the end, he rebuffs... Finney's
right, yeah. He tells him to get out.
I don't think it's loyalty. I think it's.
It's not. He. I mean,
it's
he.
Pride.
It was pride.
He wanted his job.
He did his job. He made sure everything went back to the way it should have been.
Yeah.
And then
he's out.
Tells the guy to screw off because
he doesn't give a shit about.
He does. I think because he does care about the girl. And when you can see his face when he tells him at the end that they're getting married, like his face falls like that. Like I think that probably. Precipitated.
But once he shot at her brother, he had to know that he was going to...
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
Yeah, but he was going to know that his whole life if he was going to...
He's heartless.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's a really good film. I think it's one people would probably let go, and a lot of people probably haven't seen that they should check out. It's worth checking out for sure.
Checking out. It's a masterpiece.
Right, yeah. I said that from the get-go.
Worth checking out is like Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver.
No, that's not worth checking out.
That's worth checking out.
It is.
That's like Hangover, don't have anything better to do on a Sunday afternoon.
I just feel like what happens in Vegas.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, wait, did you finish Number One Priority?
Yes.
Because you're not watching What Happens in Vegas to get Number One Priority done.
What is Number One Priority?
It's gotta get it done for 300, man. 300.
I don't know what
Zach's
this means. You're making him watch 300?
The final podcast, man. Lining it up.
Oh. And so he needs to watch What Happens in Vegas for the final podcast?
He does. That's gonna be it. No, that's 302 after
Men
at Work.
We should control kids by doing What Happens in Vegas for the final podcast.
Patrol the no people that listen to the podcast.
We can talk about What Happens in Vegas. I've seen it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
But you should just see an unseen movie review of it.
Did you go to theaters?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
You're joking, right?
No.
You write for the paper, I think, right?
I did write something for the paper, I believe.
You have to write paper.
But I saw it with Kristen. Kristen wanted to see it, so.
Mm.
Do you ever just tell her that she's wrong and she has opinions about things?
No, once you get married, you give up the right to do that.
I say, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. I say that sort of thing. And when my kid babbles, I say, hit him in the mouth.
Right. No, like,
and point at
be
you.
Be more like him.
Be more like this
be more
kid.
Like him with the talking.
Be angry about stuff.
Oh my God.
For no reason.
Nope, no reason. Never a reason. Not like I'm just walking around with
Dark Man
2. Brain
plot summary. Ian, go.
We haven't watched Dark Man 2.
Durant returns, right?
We haven't seen it yet. We don't know what that plot is. We know that somehow Durant was in a when last we saw Durant, he was in a chopper that like exploded.
He exploded. But that's survival. What's the percentage of survival for being
well,
a
if he dropped out of it and landed on some sort of stuntman's pad.
Right, yeah.
Then,
possibly.
Then it would be a decent.
And then he'd be
rate.
Returning.
Like 2%?
Yeah.
We don't know.
You think he'll come back with some sort of scars?
I think
to show that he narrowly escaped.
Darkman versus Darkman.
Right, I was just thinking that. Maybe they give him injections and stuff too, and it becomes a Durant versus Darkman kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, no, I really need to see this.
Right. Yeah.
Ian was like the other day, and he's like, dude, we got like a half an hour, like, let's just speed through, like, on times four, let's just
speed through, Darkman. What are you...
That's what I told him, I was like, I stood up and I left, and I was like, Ian, we're not doing this.
No, that's not how you presented it, dude. He presented it as, no, we're not going to watch Darkman. I'm like, dude, we can watch Curb, and then we can watch Darkman real quick, like, we'll plow through some
you
more.
You can't do that.
And then he turns it into this sanctimonious thing where he's like, I would never just watch Darkman 2 like that. How dare you? Meanwhile, it's arm and leg to get the guy to sit down for 20 minutes to watch a show he likes.
How dare you?
He was like, sir, how dare you?
He draws himself to his full height.
He did that, actually. He was going. He was going to
Dark Man 2 should not be treated thusly.
Well, honestly, though, would you do that to Dark Man
2? No, I would do that to any movie. I don't do that to movies.
Seth did that to Troy.
Troy's okay. That's okay.
But I've done it to Troy like 3 times.
So he's gotten the gist of it. I watched this part last time, so he fast forwards that and goes to the part
right.
He didn't watch, right?
I literally watched Troy in like 20 minutes.
You just but offset the
back when there, yeah, I've zipped through some stuff to get to like nudity before. I've done that. But like, that was movies I've already seen, I think.
Right.
I think I've done that multiple times with like Mulholland Falls.
With Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's like three scenes. And she had like mammoth torpedo shaped, like natural
right.
rack at that point. And now she's like gross and skinny and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at that point, she was still like, you know, pretty fleshy. Uh-huh. And I think I fast forwarded through that multiple times.
I've wanted to see that
movie. It's not a good movie.
Though, isn't that the one with about like
Nick Nolte, Chaz Palminteri?
Right, yeah, and it involves Oppenheimer and stuff.
I don't know.
Heisenberg?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. There was some angle on it that sounded
There's some nuclear junk involved. But
whatever.
Whatevs. What would you give in a rating of numerical rating?
Yeah.
Miller's Crossing.
Boy.
Maybe they should have called it Miller's Double Crossing.
Yeah.
They could have gotten away with that too. Is the funny part?
Yeah. I don't know. I want to give like a 4.25 or something. I really get close to 4.5.
That's fair. I'd give it over a 4.5. It's not a perfect movie, but
yeah.
it's close to being their masterpiece.
Oh, for sure. And I think
are you serious?
Yeah.
With me, the Coen film.
What Coen film do you think is better put together than that? More artistically shot, smarter, better written. I love a wide variety of their movies.
I like that movie. That's the first time I've seen that. I've seen a lot of their other movies more times.
Yeah, you have to see it a second time to really fully get
into it. I was about to say 4 on my first viewing. I think 4 is... I
think 4 is fair.
But to say their best movie, I don't know. I mean, I liked a lot of their movies.
Are any of their movies a 5, though, is the question. I don't know. I mean...
No.
I enjoy... Fargo a lot.
Fargo's good.
I enjoy...
Fargo is kind of tough to get through, though, in places.
The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies of all time, but I think it's hard to rate comedies against a really strong drama.
It is, yeah.
But I think comedies are harder to make.
They are harder to make, absolutely. And they're harder to get laughs out of. Big Lebowski is one of my top like, 5 favorite movies.
Big Lebowski is not smelling good, but you can watch it like 10 times and still laugh at it.
Yeah.
And so
that's one of my top favorite movies of all time, but in terms of like rating it as a movie, I think I would rate it lower than Miller's Crossing.
You know, I like shots are not important like, in a comedy.
Right. As far as, like, that's why the rating
but they do it anyway.
Right.
Well, yeah.
That's a great looking movie.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
They don't ever skimp on anything visually. I mean,
I think Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is really good, but it doesn't seem as weighty.
It's much more fun.
It's kind of
flitty. It's tough to compare Coen films because they're all sort of
they're all
different.
Over the map.
I mean, it's easier to just pick out the few that are like middling.
People
and, like,
love
not that great.
Yeah. People love No Country for Old Men. I don't think it's their best film.
It's not their best. No.
True Grit. I was more disappointed in than most people. Absolutely loved it. It's their highest grossing film. It's their highest grossing film.
Weird because it was a Western, and then less than two years later, everyone's saying, "Oh, we can't make Westerns anymore."
You saw the original, right?
I have seen bits and pieces of the original.
I've seen all of the original.
The original is really good.
The original's okay.
I really want to see the new one.
I haven't seen their new one yet, but no,
did you give it a rating? You said 4.5.
Yeah,
I would give it. I mean, I think it's a 4. I think it's a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's a 4.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely not a perfect film, and they weren't. I mean, they have shot better looking movies.
I think Fargo is better.
I don't think so.
I think Fargo's pretty up there, but I think people blew that one out of proportion a little bit.
I'd also say Big Lebowski's better.
Barton Fink.
Barton Fink's really
is
good.
Awesome. You've seen Barton Fink, right? Yeah. Now that the one thing that movie has going against it, and a lot of people love and like put it even higher, is the fact that there is no explicit meaning.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's themes that go through it,
kind of weird.
But it goes completely off the rails by the end of it. You don't know what the movie's about. I've seen it like 8 times.
It's about writer's block.
It's about writer's block.
and then as you get to the end, you don't know how to end.
The literal story goes crazy. It's set in a real world, but it's crazy. And it's like Sartre. It's like it borrows from all these different things, and it's also brilliantly shot. It also has some really funny parts. John Polito's great in that too.
Do they write together? Like
It says
directed by, produced by, and written by, but that's just because of all the problems you have to go through with the guilds. They do all three together. Yeah, I think it is.
Well, they're actually related, so
they sit there and like talk to each other about every shot.
They probably do that ahead of time. I've heard that I think from somebody that was working with them on Fargo. One of the only times on that movie that they said that they ever had like a just a debate or like a thing on set was like when he buries the money in the snow and he looks to kind of get a sense of which way he's going. It's like one of them wanted him to look right and one of them wanted him to look left, you know. Or
so they don't they don't debate. They don't have different opinions.
No, they did in that case, and then they just put both of them in. So yeah, he looks left and he looks right.
So it's mostly just one guy, but it's.
No, it's two guys, but they just are on the same page about what they're trying to do, because yeah. They write them together.
They discuss everything. I mean, you see them discussing things on set. And
ultimately, I'm thinking two is sort of the magic number for composing a story, so then if you work that well with someone to create a story, and you're in a good position to then achieve the final vision.
Get some energy.
And you know, if they grew up... We're forgetting a serious man.
A Serious Man was really good.
I didn't think it was.
I don't think it was on that level, though.
Yeah, no, not. Well, I just thought we should mention it.
I mean, if you want to do that, you can just go through their entire thing. Right. They've got like 15.
No, I know, but I mean, just like the ones that stand out.
You guys joined together?
That was fairly. Seth, did you think Dumb and Dumber was also a Coen film?
And they did Kingpin. They did The Goodbye Girl.
Right.
What else? I don't know.
That was the same thing.
All Pass was okay. I think that was decent.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Heartbreak Kid, yeah.
So, you know, do you keep up on your awkward?
I don't watch hardly any TV at all. I think I missed the West Futurama, too.
You know, when I sat down that one day and...
I watched
all those shows. I don't even remember what the shows are now, and I kept posting on Facebook that you'd introduce me to them.
I don't remember this ever happening.
Leverage and stuff?
Leverage and what was the other one?
Memphis Beat.
Leverage and Franklin and Bash. I watched Leverage and Franklin and Bash, and while I was watching them, I kept posting on Facebook.
You did this for real?
Yeah, I kept posting on Facebook, thanks to Ian for pointing these out to me. And I even did the thing at Ian Strope, so it would pop up and people could link to his name. So they could link to his page and see that picture of him going, oh.
Yeah, right. That is a good picture.
And Franklin and Bash was actually okay. And Leverage was actually okay. Except they were all too friendly with each other and nice people, which didn't make sense since they were...
Yeah, it should be more Ronin-y. Huh?
Yeah, well, they were all like criminals, but they just kept joking with each other.
Yeah, those are all jokey shows, though. I mean, that's sort of...
And the Hutton character sucked. Like, why is he even in that?
That's too bad. He's usually pretty good.
Asking you...
Oh, well, you mean when I was composing the idea? Well, they needed a name to get it on the air. So.
Do you think they borrowed the wig that Tom Hanks wore in The Da Vinci Code for him? Because that's like a really gross, like...
I don't
like,
know.
It's like a perm-mullet thing.
Right, yeah, perm-mullet. Perm-mullet. No,
so. Oh, speaking of mullets, we got to go watch It's Always Sunny, because Danny DeVito has a skullet.
Oh, okay.
He's got a skullet.
We shall do that, then.